The reading this morning, we see that Luke began Acts as he ended his gospel, and that is with the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension into heaven. This morning and tonight, I want us to spend time studying from God's Word about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this will be the first, probably in a few lessons, as we review the Bible class material from last quarter. The title of the lesson this morning and part two tonight, Jesus' Resurrection, the Centerpiece of Acts. And one cannot help but notice while reading through the book of Acts that the resurrection is very prominent throughout that book as we learn about what the apostles were doing and the message they carried out to the world. And I want to take time, I want to look at this in detail very much from Acts, but also other places in the Bible. And I want us to learn and to think about what this means for us today. Why is this important for us today? In Acts chapter 1, as we've already read, let's go a little further and let's look at verse 22. And we see that this was the job of the apostles. And that was to be a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, verse 22, speaking of the qualifications whereby then Matthias was then appointed, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of what? Of his resurrection. This was a central theme in what they were doing, in the message that they took to the world and the proof that they provided to the world in the things that they were preaching. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 3 through 11, we won't take time to read them now, that here speaking of the apostles and that they were witnesses of Jesus' resurrection and that Paul being the last of these. And the apostle Paul says, we preach and so you believe. And in part, that is because of their testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are preaching what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about all the significance of that in just a few moments. And therefore, they believe and respond to the gospel message. In Acts chapter 2 and now verse 32, I want us to notice Peter's sermon as the Holy Spirit had come. And here the beginning of the church takes place. And verse 32 in this sermon, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. And then turn to chapter 3 and verse 15. Here Peter is once again preaching and speaking of their witness of the resurrection. Verse 15, speaking of them, they put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And then notice chapter 4, verse 33. Their witness was with great power. In other words, with the miracles that testify that these things were true. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. One cannot help but notice this was an important part of their preaching and of the message of Jesus Christ that he raised from the dead. I want us to notice that the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that he's the Son of God. And as we think about that later in the lesson, we'll talk about the significance of that, but you be thinking about it right now. What is the significance that this man, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God? The significance is far-reaching. What proves this point? It is the resurrection. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, as Paul begins this epistle, he says this of Jesus Christ, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And so Jesus' resurrection declares the fact that he is the Son of God. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 1, and I appreciate so much you turning with me in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 1, This lesson is different from many I would present on Sunday morning. There's a lot of scripture involved. It's more of a Bible study than a sermon. I'm not going to have any illustrations, so please follow along. And if you want to, take a few notes to try to keep up with me, especially while we don't have our PowerPoint working. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is testified, this is proved by the fact that he was raised from the dead. And now the significance, verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. The significance is Jesus Christ being the Son of God, which is proved by his resurrection, we must hear him and the things which he says. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. For this reason, we must pay closer attention. Notice, closer attention than those from the Old Testament. Closer attention from those who lived under the Mosaic law. Why? Closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels, that's the Old Testament, proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Why is this important to us? Jesus Christ is the Son of God, therefore we must hear him and give strict attention to it. Those who lived under the Mosaic law, when they transgressed, they were punished severely. But now the Word of God has come spoken by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I'll tell you what, if we neglect it one bit, there is severe, severe punishment. And that is why we must hear and obey Him, resurrected from the dead. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. And the point is we're going to make here that we must obey Jesus Christ, proved to be the Son of God by being raised from the dead, and from the New American Standard, according to the foreknowledge of God, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ. And we talked about this fact this morning in partaking of the Lord's Supper, that he is the Lamb of God. Notice this. And be sprinkled with his blood. How are we sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ? Without the sprinkling of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. What must we do? We must obey Jesus Christ to be sprinkled with that blood, his blood, and saved from our sins. And you'll remember Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, that he is the source of eternal salvation to those who obey him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, proved by his resurrection, being raised from the dead. Therefore, we must hear him and we must obey him. And we understand that if we neglect this salvation, there is severe punishment for doing so. Turn your Bibles back with me over to Acts chapter 2. Jesus Christ proved to be the Son of God. Now I want us to understand that through Jesus' resurrection, that God put an end to the agony of death. Yes, there is agony in death, but there's been an end put to that. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 34, again here Peter is preaching. Acts chapter 2 and verse 24, I misspoke. Verse 24. God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. It was impossible for Jesus to be held by the power of death, by the power of Satan, by any power. God had given him the authority to lay his life down and to raise it up once again. There is nothing that could hold him in the grave. Therefore, Jesus Christ, when he rose up from the grave, put an end to the agony of death. It is now possible for men to have eternal life because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Verse 31 of Acts chapter 2, verse 31. Here Peter is quoting from Psalms, as David said, verse 31. He looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned in Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. And then in chapter 4, verse 2, the apostolic message. Chapter 4 of Acts and verse 2. Being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. There is no agony any longer in death, because we can raise ourselves to live forever, to live for eternity in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he raised from the dead. And by obeying him, therefore, we raise ourselves from the dead to live for eternity. If you are in Jesus Christ today, you will resurrect to eternal life. What is the proof? The proof is this, that Jesus Christ himself was raised from the dead. And therefore, by that power that raised him, you too shall raise to eternal life. Because Jesus resurrected, we can be saved through him. And that's what I want to talk about for the remainder of the lesson this morning. Turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 13 and verse 32. Acts chapter 13 and beginning in verse 32. Here the Apostle Paul speaking to the Jews at Pisidian Antioch. In verse 32, this is what he says, as he also quotes from the Psalms and speaking from David. Verse 32. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children, and that he raised up Jesus. Notice the importance, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And notice what he says. As it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. In other words, the blessings of David, that one of his lineage would rise to the throne, the eternal throne of Jesus Christ, and give you eternal life. That is what you have today in Jesus Christ. What is the proof? Jesus rose from the dead. What is the power? Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, we can be saved through him. Turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates the power of God that works upon us to save us when we obey his Son Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Here is what Paul says. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What is that hope? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. So that you may know the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is that? Eternal life in heaven. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance to the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates the power God works upon each one of us. When we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ to forgive us for our sins, later in this epistle, Paul talks about this fact, that you and I are seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places, that power of God to save us from our sins. Now turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to notice that through Jesus Christ, we are believers in God who raised him from the dead. Because Jesus raised from the dead, because we believe that, we are believers in God, we have faith and we have hope in God. Look at verse 20, 1 Peter 1, verse 20. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now notice this. Because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you believe that. Therefore, you believe in God who raised him, who gave him that power, gave him that authority. Therefore, you have faith and hope. Now, I want you to notice in this same chapter, verse 3, the result of this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Therefore, we have a living hope and not a dead hope. Our hope is in life, eternal life. How so? Because we believe in God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Therefore, through that resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can be saved and have this living hope. Look at verses 18 and 19. How is this done? Verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from the futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We spoke of that blood this morning. And so because we believe in God and we obey our Savior Jesus Christ, the sanctifying work of the spirits, as we obey Jesus Christ to be sprinkled with his blood, therefore to have this living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, redeemed with his precious blood. Now, when does this occur? Turn over with me to chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Remember, we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that gives us, makes available to us this salvation because we believe in God who raised him from the dead and we obey him. Therefore, we have this hope and this faith. When did we obtain this? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, in other words, not just getting wet in water, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. And how can we do this? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus resurrected from the dead, you and I can be saved through him. That power worked upon us, which it was demonstrated in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. Now, God saves us by uniting us with Christ, his death, his resurrection, when we're baptized. Now, Paul explains this in more detail. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Baptism now saves us, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul explains in some greater detail how this works. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, I want you to recall Acts chapter 4 verse 2. Remember that in Jesus Christ, that there is the resurrection from the dead. Because Jesus resurrected, that those who are in Christ, that they too are resurrected to eternal life. Now, how do we enter into Christ? Verse 3 of Romans chapter 6. We're baptized into Jesus Christ. And he says, and we've been baptized into his death. Baptized into his death. Continue verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And what is this newness of life? It is a resurrected life. It is a changed life. It is the hope, a living hope. Our sins have been forgiven, sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we have this new life, resurrected life. Look at verses 5 and 6. Because we've been united with Jesus Christ. Verse 5. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. His resurrection was eternal, for eternal life, never to die. The grave could not hold him. The power of the grave could not hold him. And so the power of the grave cannot hold you. You've resurrected to a new life. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Look at chapter 7, verse 4. We're joined with Jesus Christ. Chapter 7, verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. When we're baptized into Christ, we're made to die and raised. No, excuse me, I got ahead of myself. So that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. We're joined with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has raised from the dead. Therefore, we experience this resurrection. His death becomes our death. His burial becomes our burial. His resurrection becomes our resurrection to a new life, a living hope, not a dead hope. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised up with him. Jesus Christ rose up. The grave was not able to keep him. Death was not able to keep him. There was not power over him to hold him within the grave. Therefore, in Acts chapter 4, verse 2, in Jesus is the resurrection from the dead. We are baptized into Jesus Christ. Where is the resurrection from the dead? So Paul says that you were also raised up with him. How so? Through faith in the working of God. Because we believe what God has promised, what is within the Word, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that those who obey him are in Jesus Christ, and therefore they have this resurrection to a living hope, eternal life, never to die again. Spiritually, physically, yes. It's given to man once to die and then is the judgment, but not spiritual. In the book of Revelation, John says, the second death has no power over those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, they will not be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone with the devil and his angels, his demons. They have life forevermore. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We are in Christ Jesus. We are baptized into Christ Jesus. In Christ there is resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jump down to verse 10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We have this life, living hope, eternal life. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 3, and we will conclude the lesson. The first part anyway, Colossians chapter 3. Now as Christians, in Christ Jesus, our sins washed away, now saved, we have a responsibility. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, that's all of us here who are Christians, been raised up with Jesus Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. We'll talk about this evening. about eternal life in heaven. Verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, and so forth. We have died with Christ. We've been raised up with Jesus Christ. When we're baptized, we have a living hope, not a dead hope. And therefore, we have a responsibility to set our mind on the things of heaven, not the things of the earth, and to consider our members of our earthly bodies as dead to sin. It is a blessing. It is incredible what the Lord has done for all of us here who are Christians. But let's take a moment and ask ourselves, are we living up to our responsibility? Are we living up to our responsibilities to the very best that we can? Think about that this morning. Not only about the blessings of eternal life with Christ Jesus, but think of your responsibilities. When you are baptized into Christ, you are united with Him. His death, His resurrection. You are raised up with Him as a Christian now. Faithful to God. Are you living up to your responsibilities? If you are, you will have eternal life. Jesus' resurrection proves that He is the Son of God. Through His resurrection, God put an end to the agony of death. Because Jesus resurrected, we can be saved through Him by obeying Him and remaining faithful. God saves us by uniting us with Christ, His death, His resurrection, when we're baptized, and raising us up with Him. If you're not a Christian this morning, these blessings are available to you. Won't you think about it? The Lord has asked us to do something that is so incredibly easy. The Lord has done the hard part. We've thought about today His life. We've thought about His death. We've thought about His crucifixion. And now He just asks us to believe in Him and to repent of our sins. Turn from our sins to live the way He wants us to live, which, by the way, is the best way to live anyway. To confess our faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be baptized, making our appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian this morning, or if you've strayed from the truth as a Christian, we would like to help you. If you'd like for us to do that, won't you come to the front now as we stand and as we sing.